Welcome to the Rob and Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
Well, I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Big, hairy American winning machine.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast. I just wanna be.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers, your reigning, defending national champions in the sport of football. I also have a co-host. He represents a fluke sports team. That would be the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Let me put on my glasses real quick. Got them on just fine. It is a great day to be a Gamecock.
What are those glasses for? Are you old?
I'm just putting them on. They seem to just make a genius out of me like it does our head coach. So I'm putting some glasses on.
Are you standing beside the fact that Will Muschamp didn't learn how to coach until he put glasses on?
I'm just saying that it seems to be working.
You don't want to go with that and say that he stole from the South Carolina football program for years and he should have been wearing them a long time ago? You don't want to talk about that?
Oh, okay. No, I do not.
So you just want to look like a librarian douche on our podcast. Congratulations.
I look like a genius. I look like boom.
No, you Team look boom. Like a douche. You look like a douche.
Team boom. I mean, it's just, I mean, what a weekend.
You look like a complete
I can't say
douche.
I'm shocked. I mean, I'm a little bit shocked, but I
get the hell out of here.
Totally,
you know what? No. You can't. You are shocked because I have the clips from you saying, we don't stand a chance against Georgia. That came out of your mouth. So don't start.
Well, I did say at halftime that we would be in the ball game. But, you know, listen, sometimes
In our season preview, you said we don't have a chance against Georgia.
I said this was the one game. Even when I was saying 8-4, I go, this is the one game where I think we're going to get blown out. But here's the thing, though. You know, even I underestimate the greatness of Will Muschamp. What a game plan.
Get
I mean, what the culture really showing out.
All right, well, look, it's not your culture. We can explain what went right for the Gamecocks in just a moment. But let's thank our sponsors for the show, including Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. We appreciate them as always. Of course, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. You need to come to our live show on November the 29th. Lots of great stuff happening at Callaway's Bar and Grill. You can check them out online, callawaysbarandgrill.com. Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart in West Columbia. Go by and see Cheddar Bob and Mike and Billy Muse, Lee the sweet bartender, and all the other cool folks at Callaway's. But our big live show is going to be awesome. Got to come by and check that out. It's at Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. I know some folks are already talking about, hey, they're going to go. Should have a big crowd there. And we do a little charity event there, too, that day to benefit Community Options, which they help folks with disabilities get homes, and they work with them to get jobs and stuff like that. And regardless of whether you wear orange like I do or garnet like the comrade, we all can agree that we need to help out folks with disabilities. Right, Mike?
That is true. That is very true.
All right. So thank the folks from Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. We appreciate them so much. We'll be having our live show there on November the 29th. Also, DNC Trucking and Transport, the no spin zone for the comrade. Comrade, read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is my national champion. The Gamecock program picked up a fluke win over Georgia. We are not a good football team. We also showed absolutely zero class as we decided to break off pieces of a historic landmark to the Georgia program. We did this because we were not used to winning. We don't know how to act. We also don't understand the tradition of another university because we have no tradition. Gamecock fans should realize, despite this fluke, this program is not special and the bastard stepchild in the SEC. Rob carries the podcast. I am lucky he allows me to do the show with him. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock.
And, of course, the last line is Go Tigers, which he missed.
Oh, Go Tigers. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Your glasses stemmed out of the way. All facts there. I mean, no deception there in that in that post. But we'll talk about the Gamecocks and Georgia in a moment. We'll talk about Clemson and their win over Florida State. But let's update our standings in the Callaway's Football Pick'em Contest. Let's see here. I did not have a good week, but I still lead the way. I am at 28 correct picks out of 42. That still got me at 68% overall. That's still very solid. John Michael Stroud, who's watching on Facebook Live this evening, he was in at 27, so he's right there on my heels as he picked up 4 this week. Jeff Pritchett took a step back at 2. He's at 26, along with Ben Simmons at 26. Jeremy McClure is at 26 as well. He had a good week, 4 picks correct. Jimbo, James Dunn from Callaway's, he is at 25, along with Wendy Wyatt, who was making her way up, comrade. She had a 5 in week 5, a 2 in week 6, and a 5 in week 7. Very impressive.
I think she's passed me up. I think she's
She has passed you up. She's at 25, one pick ahead of the comrade, who's had 2 straight weeks at 2 wins. Comrade's not having a good go of it here this year. He's at 24. He's 4 packs. He's 4 picks back, along with Mark McCurry, Dalton DeBose. They both sit at and Eddie Hicks. Look at old T-shirt Eddie at 4 picks back. Carlos Holder had a 4-win week, and he is at 4 picks back. Or no, 3 pick. He's 5 picks back. 1 pick back of the comrade, by the way, along with Brian Peek and Kale Hall, who rebounded from his 0 with a 3. Lewis Boland picked up 3 points. He's at 23, along with Ken Bellinger at 23. He had a 4 this week. Very good for you. Dennis Wilson is falling off the face of the earth. He got 1 pick correct for the second week in a row, and he went from second place down to 22. He's now 6 back, along with Thomas Powell and Joe Anders. Kevin Starkey had a week of 4. He's also 6 back. Billy Muse got 2 correct from Callaway's. He's at 7 back, along with Jamie Phillips, Christian Young, Kyle Spivey, and Chris Driver, and Zach Celentano. Jason Sims. God damn it, Jason Sims. Another peak. Another week with 1 pick, Jason. God. What is going on with him, Mike? You've heard of worst to first. He went from first to worst. 1 pick correct. Killing me.
I mean, it's still amazing that the go 10 for 10 in that first week is unreal. And then equally unreal is what he's done since. It's been two extremes.
Well, it's like he was running a marathon and he sprinted and got like a 4-minute mile on the first mile, and now he's like, oh, God, I've got 22 more miles. Yeah, and I got to limp through the rest. But Jason Sims at 20. Tyler Crowder from Kicking It with Crowder is at 20. Keith Whitley's fucking dead, but he's at 20 with 2 this week. Rich Long also 2. Chris Smith at 2. Tyler Thompson's at 3. Shane Bagwell's at 3. Matt Hewlett picked up 4. He's at 20. Fritz Von Cumbucket, another stellar week for the Cumbucket. 1 pick correct, but this guy knows how to run a pick'em challenge. This guy's won several pick'ems all over the place, but apparently he can't win this one. Can't win this one at all. He is way back. Can we eliminate Fritz? I think he's done. Would you agree? I don't think he's winning this thing.
Oh, no. I think it's more fun to watch him just to try to get that.
No, I'm just saying that we're laughing at him because there's no way he's going to win. Yeah. Sean Fletcher also had 1 pick. She should be better than that. He's got a better football mind. Trey Gunnels is at 2 picks with 19. Tyrone Quarles at 19. Chris Rents at 19. Lisa Sestera. What is going on with you, Lisa? Do better, Lisa. 19. Tabitha Sims, do better. 19. Thomas Dana Young, he picked up 3 this week, and he moved up to 19. But he didn't pick last week, so that's kind of inflated on his. Let's see here. Who else do we got? Austin Wooten's at 18. No picks for Austin. Uh-oh. Jamie Spires picked up 1. Nick Marsingale picked up 2. They're both at 18. At 17, you got Jay Bennett and David Butts. David Butts had 3 picks correct this week, and he's still 11 picks back. Sucks to be him. No picks from Lowell or Mike Muse. Mike Muse didn't pick.
Yeah, he didn't get one.
Damn it. Dave Sanders at 16. Gary Mills is at 16. They had 3 picks correct this week. Zach Abercrombie picked up 2. He's at 15. And then you have Seth Stokes at 15, along with Matt Tomlinson. Richard Stein, Tim South, and Dean Kiesler are all way back. All way back in the pack. And it looks like it may come down to David Sanders, Gary Mills, Zach Abercrombie, Seth Stokes, and Matt Tomlinson, who gets the Mickey Freeman trophy that is shaped like a big penis. Yeah. So there you go. We're going to pick our other games tonight as far as who's going to go where next week. But let's talk about the big game yesterday. Florida State wins over no one as Clemson beats them 45-14. The Clemson offense flowed a lot better yesterday, even though the stats didn't really help as much on the front with Trevor Lawrence. He was efficient, 17 of 25, 130 yards, or 170 yards, and three touchdowns. He also had one on the ground, so he's accumulating a lot of points here, but it's not the big gaga stat line. Travis Etienne had 17 carries for 127 yards. Justin Ross, by the way, five receptions for 61 yards and two touchdowns. That guy is playing his butt off. Corey Bridges, that's your former roommate, right? He's watching on the podcast.
That is the Corey Bridges, number four, the best number four in state history. That includes your school.
Corey Bridges is a smart guy and wouldn't agree with that.
Played in the NFL a little bit, Corey Bridges. Track star at Carolina, receiver at Carolina. And he's from Georgia. He's a Georgia kid. So I think Will Muschamp has sent him the game ball.
I doubt it.
So big win. But I will say this, though. You know, Corey, on his Facebook feed, I think it was either Thursday, might have been Wednesday or Thursday. You know, he lives in Atlanta area now. He actually trains professional athletes, Kirk Cousins and all that stuff. Corey's in real good shape still. He could probably still play, unlike me. And anyway, Corey said something on his Facebook feed on Wednesday or Thursday. There he is. He goes, something's kind of strange. Something's feeling kind of strange here in Georgia this week. I don't know. Something about to happen, I think. Like, he was kind of predicting a little upset, you know, and I kind of...
He may have been talking about the Braves.
Well, no, he wasn't. That wasn't... It was after the Braves already choked things away. And so, it might have been Friday.
He was talking about the Braves.
But then, of course, the upset, and of course, his Facebook feed has been just hilarious. The pictures he's been posting, because he's got a lot of friends and family, obviously, who are Georgia fans. He's from Georgia, so he's been just trolling them ever since yesterday's outcome. So it's been pretty funny to watch, though. But he was the first person I saw who had a little prediction about the Gamecocks. So I think Corey was a good luck charm.
Well, going back to what we were talking about with Clemson, they had the big win over Florida State, dominating fashion over Florida State. Just a huge, huge win over a team that actually won a national title in the past 5 years. So I think this is a bigger win than the Georgia game for South Carolina. I mean, because Georgia hasn't won shit in forever. So
no, my just saying. Lord. The disturbing part of the Florida State game, okay, forget about Clemson, is how bad they've gotten. Like, they have no fight.
You're not talking about Clemson, are you?
I'm talking about FSU. How bad
they are. Oh, I was about to say, holy shit, like they won by 30 points, brother.
The story is not Clemson. I think the writers and the voters saw that, which is why they dropped you down to number three. It's like FSU just doesn't want to be there. Like, hitting the mouth early and just like, okay, we're done. I mean, just no. It's pretty embarrassing.
For Florida State, right?
Oh, yeah, Florida State. I mean, it's embarrassing for you that you're in that conference, but that's not your fault.
Well,
you
can't determine what conference you're in.
Just saying they have no – there's no pride. There's no – like, they don't really have any kind of – like, you know, there's a – you know, I heard Gamecock fans or someone say a couple weeks ago that Will Muschamp had lost the locker room, which makes me laugh, okay? The thing that you watch Florida State play, and I don't know if Taggart – they play like they don't care.
Well, and we'll get to Muschamp losing the locker room, because that's whoever posted that's not very bright. But
in the Gamecock room, someone said they knew someone who knew someone in the locker room that says they're just not happy.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have an insider in one that I know goes to practice and knows a bunch of players, and it's funny because whenever I hear stuff from my guy, it's never Will Muschamp has lost the locker room. It's never that. But it's funny. But we'll get to the Gamecock game in a second. Let's wrap up the Clemson game. Just a dominating performance for Clemson. Sweeney lost his mind with his kicker, and he's benching the guy, and he's putting in another kid named Steven Sawicki. So the BT Potter kid, the era at Clemson, is ending. It was some pretty crazy video of Dabo losing his mind with this kid on the line. But crazy there for that. But Dabo Sweeney's making a change at kicker. The Tigers move on to play Louisville this coming week. Louisville had a big win over Wake Forest. You know, we talked at the beginning of the season, Mike, about how we thought that Louisville and Georgia Tech were going to be two programs that were rebuilding. Louisville looks pretty good. I mean, they won a track meet against Wake Forest, and it's interesting that Coach Satterfield is doing the job he's doing up at Louisville. Clemson better take that game seriously, because I assure you, Coach Satterfield has those boys right, and they would love to knock off Clemson if they could. So an interesting matchup coming up for Clemson. I don't think that you can't really take anything away from Florida State. They have more 4- and 5-star athletes than Clemson, but it's just like what Mike said. They look like they just don't give a shit. I mean, that's the only thing I can possibly say that makes any sense.
And I know they can't fire him right now because of the buyout kind of we talked about before, but, you know, he's a dead man walking, not a Taggart. I mean, I just don't see him. Just watching that game and how – not that they lost. I mean, we all knew they were going to lose to Clemson, but it just seemed like they just had no fight whatsoever. Like, they were beaten. Like, when Clemson scored early on there, it was like they gave up right there. And that's kind of bad to see. That's a bad sign to see. So,
yeah. Well, Clemson moves on to play Louisville on the road this weekend. Kickoff of that game is at noon, and the kickoff of the South Carolina game with Florida is at noon. And that's kind of cool, because if you're in our Facebook group, we have our little game chat. We'll have just one thread going at one time, which is kind of cool, because you don't have to watch two threads. So anyway, I kind of like that. But should be interesting either way with Louisville this weekend. And then Florida's coming to town this weekend to play the Gamecocks. The Gamecocks picked up a monumental win over Georgia this weekend. I don't think anybody really saw that coming. I know the comrades sitting over there talking about, nobody saw South Carolina beating Georgia. Just stop with all that. It's just be honest. It's okay. You know, I'm not taking anything away from the kids that played. So for the people that say that Will Muschamp lost the locker room, if you watched that game the other day, it was a blood and guts effort. They left their soul on the field out there. Now, it would have been comical if you're a Clemson fan if they would have lost, but I don't think we can agree that Will Muschamp still got the ear of those kids.
There's lots of times in that game where they could have given up, too. Just the different things that happened to adversity. The missed kick from Parker White. I mean, when that happened right there, I thought that we weren't going to win. Like, it just looked like it was going to be a typical Gamecock heartbreaking loss. And usually when that happens, you see games like that happen, usually those teams don't win. Usually it's kind of like the air gets let out, and that's it.
Right.
And so that was the impressive part. On top of that, your quarterback goes down. And Joyner steps in. He didn't play great. Now, keep in mind, Joyner's not healthy either. I mean, Joyner's hamstring. I mean, there's a couple plays there where if he's healthy all the way, he probably gets a few more first downs from those runs he had. So he was out there gutting it out too. So it was unreal. It was just one of those memorable games in Gamecock history. Not just beating Georgia. We've done it before. We've knocked off Georgia before when they've been pretty highly ranked.
Yeah, but you haven't knocked off. I mean, let's be honest. When I think this win is the biggest win in Gamecock history.
Well,
against the odds and everything else, winning on the road.
Yeah, I mean, the Bama game gets brought up, but the Bama game, I think we're 6-point dogs.
But, Mike, think about this from that Alabama game, though. Look at all the players that you had that are, I mean, playing in the pros now. I mean, you had some NFL-type talent on that field. And I don't know if you've got all of that on the field now. I mean, the defensive back that – what was the defensive back that had the three picks?
Israel Hukamo.
Hukamo. he played out of his mind, whereas, you know, nobody had really talked about him before. And to be honest, the secondary has been an issue for South Carolina. But I think the big thing with that game was, and I told the guys in the Facebook group before we started recording, Will Muschamp decided, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go man. We haven't done it all season. South Carolina's played that cushion zone all season. They went man-on-man with Georgia, and Georgia and Kirby Smart didn't make any adjustments. And I'm not saying that the Gamecocks played their game, but they didn't make any adjustments on the Georgia side for something they haven't seen from the Gamecocks all year, and I think that was the key to the win, in my opinion.
Well, that's a defense that Muschamp wants to play. I mean, the problem is that he hasn't felt he could play it because of the talent level we have. And so, you know, at some point, you know, over the bye week, he said, you know, our best chance is to play that and to trust the guys on there, and they did it. Now, the Bama game, they didn't do that. They played kind of off of receivers in the slant because they felt that if they played man, they get burned. But, you know, the key is you have to have a D line up front that can get to the passer. That's the first thing. But having to bring blitzes and all those things too, and they did a really good job of getting to Fromm a few times. So, but yeah, that's his defense he played at Florida. We had all those that talent at Florida. It was man to man. We're not going to blitz. We don't have to blitz. We're going to beat you up front, and we got great DBs, and that's how they were good at Florida. So it was great to see. And that's the one thing I told you that, you know, I'm a Muschamp guy, but the one thing that was disturbing to me was the fact that I really thought that this year would be a big step up with our defense. I thought this would be the year that the defense has to resemble more of a Will Muschamp Florida defense we saw. Not quite there yet, but resemble that. And the fact that the UNC game, they looked horrible, you start to kind of question what in the world's going on with the fact that they're healthy, they're, you know, full, you know, they're ready to go against the UNC game, and they played horrible. So they played well against Kentucky 2 weeks ago, but I wasn't really trying to give them too much credit because in Kentucky, their backup quarterback in who couldn't throw, he was hurt. And so this right here, we found out a lot. I know the yardage isn't great. They gave up 459 yards, but
none of that shit matters. The only thing that matters
is the score at the end. In terms of the stats, but they made plays. They got a pass rush. They had three sacks. The Gamecocks didn't allow one sack. Think about it. If you told me that for the game, if the Gamecocks not allow a sack, that's unreal. Now, granted, Hlinski got hit a few times throwing the ball afterwards, but so great effort for the defense. You're starting to see that defensive presence that we thought we were getting when we got Muschamp originally a few years back. So
I don't think that you got Georgia's best game. I think that Georgia may have been overlooking South Carolina a little bit and maybe reading a little bit too much of their press clippings. Mm-hmm. But the reality is the Gamecocks won. So you can't argue about it. They got their game and they had their opportunity to go out and do something, and they got their ass kicked. Simple as that.
Listen, I went to that podcast, the Atlanta podcast, on Wednesday before we did our show. And they asked me, you know, what would the game question have to do to win the game? And I said, we're going to have to play our A game, play great special teams, and hope Georgia, you know, plays their C game. And, you know, Georgia did not play well. Now, part of that, too, is the way we played. I think the fact that we're you know, Jake Fromm all year has not really faced a pass rush. Like, he's going back there, had time, and it was the first game that someone got up in his face. And quarterbacks are different when they got pressure. I mean, you hit a guy, I don't care who you are, how good you are, you start getting hit, and you start making decisions that you normally don't make. And the throw he made at the end of the half off his back foot, you know, I hate to, you know, make fun of Jake Bentley, but that's the kind of play that Jake Bentley makes because he gets hit all game long. He gets hit and hit and hit, and all of a sudden now you're throwing off your back foot, anticipating getting hit again, you make bad decisions. You speed up the quarterback, they make bad decisions. So, you know, part of it was Georgia didn't play well. Part of it was the fact that the Gamecocks helped make them not play well. It's a, you know, they kind of go together. But Georgia did not play well. The receivers had a few passes that went through their hands on the interceptions. You know, those things right there. I think it was a noon game. Noon games sometimes are tough to get up for. I'm sure Georgia was looking ahead a little bit too. And the Gamecocks, you know, took advantage of that. So it worked out well.
One other thing, too, with Georgia, I don't know exactly how great their receivers are. Pickens had a good game. I think he had, like, seven catches.
He had some good plays.
He did. But where they lost the game was with Jake Fromm had to throw the ball 51 times. And that's not what Georgia wants. I mean, if he throws over 35 times and it's not overtime, it's probably not good for them. But he threw 51 times, completing 28 of them. That's a little bit over 50%. That's not what you want from any quarterback. So, Helinski was efficient, 15 of 20, 116 yards in the TD. The hit he took looked gruesome. I'm not trying to bash whatever, but when I seen it, I watched it live, and it made me cringe a little bit. And he had to come off the sideline. The defender tripped. Muschamp said in his press conference that, hey, that's just what it was. The guy tripped, and that's it. But what'd you think of the hit that Helinski took?
I mean, I don't think it was on purpose. I mean, in the Gamecock rooms, they all think they were targeting his knee.
No, I don't think he was targeting, but did it look like it was real serious to you, though? When I saw it, I was like, oh, God, he may be done.
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, Muschamp came out today and said that he's going to play Saturday sprain. But listen, if I'm Muschamp, I'm going to say that regardless, because you want Florida to prepare for Helinski.
How about Florida to prepare for two quarterbacks?
Exactly.
You have to get them to prepare for Joyner too.
Say, for example, if Helinski's not going to play, and listen, there's a good chance. I hate to break this news to Gamecock fans. There's a good chance he does not play. Okay, there's a good chance that Saturday about 8 a.m., okay, as you're sitting down getting ready, it comes over, he's not dressing. Because that happens a lot. Like, if you look at the Muschamp era here in Carolina, there's all kinds of guys who don't play on get. All of a sudden you realize they're hurt. Like, they're hurt. When they get hurt? They got hurt getting off the bus? It's like, no, they've been hurt all week. He just doesn't tell you.
Yeah, and one of them would be a perfect example of that would be Dylan Wanham, your starting left tackle, who has ended up being out for 3 weeks. But, yeah, so, but then there's that.
For the Gamecock fans who are celebrating the fact of what Muschamp said today, and listen, maybe he is playing, but I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
How mobile is he going to be? I mean, let's be honest. I don't think that – and I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
Florida blitzes, too. Florida's whole defense, they blitz. I mean, so
– well, and that's the thing, too. But if I watched some video of the Gamecocks coming back, and there was some video of him getting off the bus, and he had trouble getting off the bus last night. And that's just the video that I've seen. But it just didn't look good, Mike. Yeah. It didn't look good at all.
But I would not. That's been the hard part this week is trying to figure out who's. But listen, if you're Muschamp, I would not show my hand to Florida. So, you know, he may know Helinski's not playing and say he is playing, or maybe that what he's saying is true. That Helinski's going to play, and maybe he will. I mean, Trask, a Florida quarterback, has an MCL sprain, and he played so. You know, there's things they can do during the week to get them going on. So if this is a sprain, and Trask has that done too, that, you know, he can play. So we'll see.
All right. Well, I think that – I don't think a lot of people have a lot of faith in Dekarion Joyner. But I think that if you're going with a Helinski's at 50% or a Joyner that's closer to full health, I think that – the Gamecocks' chances are better with Joyner if Helinski's not completely ready to go. And I'll tell you why. If you watch what Lynn Bowden Jr. did last night for Kentucky, ran for 196 yards, threw for 100 and something yards, that's the kind of output that you would expect from an athlete like Dekarion Joyner. And I think that if Helinski really can't go and can't protect himself on the field, it's better to send Joyner out there with the two big running backs you've got and try to control the game and make it muddy, meaning keep it the time of possession for the Gamecocks, hope your defense can put up like they did against Georgia, and then move from there. But there just seems to be this, and I don't know what it is, that people think that Joyner can't throw the ball. We really haven't had the opportunity to see him try to do that. So Well, but I'm just saying, if you have to have him, you have to have him.
Joyner isn't really all the way healthy either. I mean, his hamstring is still not 100%. You can see that when he runs the ball a little bit too. But it's not that he can't throw the ball. I think there's different levels of accuracy. You know, there's one thing of throwing the ball in high school when guys are open. You know, you got to put things in small windows at this point. And that's the issue is can he fit the ball in the small windows? I think he can make some plays in the passing game. But my whole thing is this, you know, how healthy Hilinski is. Florida's a blitzing team, and you would think, well, that's going to be dangerous for Hilinski. But a lot of times when a team blitzes, it's not about you, the quarterback, trying to buy time. It's about getting rid of the ball quick. So it's not, you know, buying more time. It's more when they're not blitzing, and it's just a regular pass rush that you can buy more time. When a blitzing team, the idea is to figure out who your read is, who you're going to, and get rid of the ball quick. And Hilinski gets rid of the ball really quick. And so if he's healthy, I like the matchup in Florida just because with Hilinski's style and his accuracy and the way he's not trigger shy, I think the Gamecocks can get some big plays on slants and quick post patterns and get the ball out to Edwards real quick and have a guy miss and go all the way. And so if he can do that, I think the Gamecocks can be very successful if Hilinski can stand back there and throw. It doesn't affect his throwing. And I think, you know, we'll see how bad a hurt he is, but that could happen too.
Well, My thing, too, is that I think people need to understand, I don't think the Gamecocks win that game without Joyner yesterday, meaning that he made enough plays to get out of there with a win.
Listen. Look,
the kid's ballsy. You got to give him that. Well, I mean, he could have quit and transferred a long time ago.
The thing is, though, he did not make any mistakes. And you say, that's a huge deal. He's a freshman who has not been getting a lot of snaps at quarterback. I mean, you know, starting the year.
Technically, he's a sophomore.
They put him on a third string. He's been getting a few here, but then his hamstring, he was hurt 2 weeks ago. He has not getting a lot of snaps at quarterback in practice, okay? And to go out there as a freshman, not getting a lot of snaps at quarterback.
Mike, he's a sophomore.
I'm sorry. Well, it's his first year playing quarterback. Okay, in terms of going out there.
Well, he took snaps last year, but he's a sophomore.
But so to go out there on the road in Georgia, not thinking you're going to play a quarterback, okay, and suddenly you're out there and knowing that the quarterback that you took go for is not coming back in, you know, he didn't make any of the big mistakes. And that was huge. And he made enough plays to get some first downs, which helps, you know, keep our defense off the field, which helps, you know, them play better. It limits Georgia's scoring opportunities. Now, if Hilinski doesn't get hurt, the game doesn't go to overtime. I think the Gamecocks win that game, not easily, but doesn't go to overtime. You know, so I think the fact that our offense did kind of, shut down a little bit, but he did enough and didn't make mistakes to make a difference. So give him a lot of credit. I mean, I think he's a good kid. He plays hard. He's a great athlete. He's out there basically, you know, 75% probably, you know, trying to run. So, I mean, that's a huge thing. And regardless what happens, if he ends up transferring at the end of this year, okay, when Doty comes in, regardless of that, this is a game that he kind of has now in his history, you know, in Gamecock lore, that he came off the bench and helped Carolina knock off number 4 team or number 3 team in the country in Athens. So whatever he does from this point on, that's what he has in his legacy forever.
All right, so a couple final things before we get out of here this evening. I want to talk quickly about the polls to the Clemson folks who listen to this show. And the comrade will agree with me on this, I think. None of these polls mean anything. The polls that are out there right now don't mean anything. If you want to have some fun, go back and look back at the polls from last season where you see teams that are in the top 10 and right now, and they finish 25th, 23rd, whatever. So it doesn't really matter what any of these polls have out there. Clemson's favored by double digits the rest of the way through their schedule. if Clemson wins the ACC championship game, regardless of what any dumb SEC fan will tell you, they will be in the college football playoff. It's as simple as that. Don't worry about being number three right now. That doesn't make it. It doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. The people getting so upset over polls, it's hilarious at this point. I mean, it really, really is. They shouldn't have polls until Halloween. We talked about that. Are you dropping stuff over there? What the hell?
My cat just went crazy. I think she knocked over my cup.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, my final thing, some of the Gamecock players decided that they were going to take pieces of the hedges from Georgia. I think that's a trashy move. I don't care what people think about it. You shouldn't do that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why they did it. I know the comrade's going to say Georgia Tech did it. I don't think they should have done it either. You should be respectful wherever you go and be a polite guest and leave things the way that you found them. I don't understand why they did that. If the memento they have is when they look at the next, at the end of the season, they know they hung the first loss on Georgia. That means a lot more than trying to piss on the tradition that Georgia has. But that's just me. I don't know why they did that. It just makes no sense. I know that certain coaches in South Carolina wouldn't put up with that, like the really good ones, like Frank Martin and, you know, and Don Staley. That shit wouldn't happen under their watch. But the other piss poor thing was Muschamp apparently got him some too, and he went to college there, so he understands the tradition of that. And it just, you know, it just shows what kind of a human being he is. But go ahead with your comments on this, Mike, because I know that you're like, listen, well, in Mike's mind, fuck them. Let's dig up those motherfuckers and we'll take them back with us. You and know, why don't we kill Ugga and we'll drag his ass down the road like fucking like the dog from Vacation, because fuck them, we beat them in their house. That's the way the comrade thinks. No, but anyway, go ahead.
When it first happened, I wasn't real proud of it. But then I went on social media, and I saw all the Clemson fans getting mad, and I said, "Thank God we did it," because
it's not about the Clemson fans. But go ahead.
And the fact that Georgia Tech does it every time they beat Georgia there, and no one has a problem with it.
Well, Georgia Tech doesn't beat them there. If I knew Georgia Tech was doing it, it doesn't bother me.
It
doesn't bother me on that front.
I wish now they were taking a big dig truck and dug them up.
There you go. As I said, dig up.
Upset. Georgia dig fans up, dig them up. Really.
Actually, Clemson Georgia fans are. Once again, the comrade is absolutely lying.
You know what? We should have beat them.
Well, that's
the
fine.
The fact that Clemson fans are so upset about it, they're so upset over Georgia's hedges that actually Georgia fans break off for souvenirs, they leave the stadium. That happens.
They're their hedges. They were there in 1929. That's absolutely not true.
Educate me how you never brought this up when Georgia Tech does it. I never heard you.
When's the last time that Georgia Tech did it?
What's that?
When's the last time Georgia Tech won?
Every time they beat Georgia there.
When's the last time Georgia Tech won there? Georgia Tech hasn't won there in a long time.
Well, they won there a few times in the past, say, 15 years.
Not in the tradition of this podcast.
Okay, well, I mean,
okay. So
I'm sure we go back to 2010, you team went dabble fired. I'm sure. I mean, what's looking when Georgia Tech
once
beat
again,
them there last
time? You're spinning once again. I don't think Red says it's 2015. That was long before the podcast started.
2015, okay. So,
long before you knew me.
I'm sure we can find somewhere in social media in 2015 you granting against, you know, how dare Georgia Tech do that, right? I'm sure that you said something.
I'm sure if I've seen it, I don't think it's good.
Well, why
would
you
see like
it?
Would you let me finish?
The ADs had an agreement. The Georgia Tech AD and the Georgia AD had an agreement back then about not doing it, and they still did it. It was a big deal.
Look, are you going to let me finish, or are you just going to run your mouth about Georgia Tech?
I'm just wondering why you get upset now.
Because it's a trash move, Mike.
Why was it a trash move when Georgia Tech did it?
Mike, it's a trash move when anything's like that. I didn't like when.
I love that you're upset about it.
No, I'm not upset about it. It's not.
You are upset.
It wasn't Clemson fans going there and doing that.
They're just beside themselves.
Well,
I mean, the Tater Dogs. It's like no. It's like you're their sister school.
No.
You know?
If you go to certain Georgia fan sites, they talk about how utterly disgusting that the Gamecocks were doing that.
Well, that's a shame.
That's just the way that it is.
Beat us
Look,
next
and
time.
I understand that, yeah, you can have that mentality,
maybe
or you can have the mentality
beat us
of...
we'll do it.
That's well, and that's fine, but you could have the mentality of maybe we should be better than that and act like that we're a program that's on the rise,
you know,
instead of acting like a bunch of punk bitches. But you know, guys take the punk bitches.
I mean, it's not like we're grabbing people, you know, in the private parts in the pile. I don't think we're doing that.
Yeah,
we're
well, taking, once again,
we're just
spinning
taking pieces
it,
of hedges.
Spin it.
We're
spin
just taking
it,
a piece of hedges.
Spin it. It was utterly disgusting, and it should have happened.
We're not grabbing people's... We're not people's junk and laughing about it in the press. We're not doing that.
Yeah, that's
fine. We're
just
grabbing the hedges. I mean, what's worse, grabbing the hedges that grow back or grabbing someone's private parts of the football field? I think it's funny.
This is not about Clemson,
well,
Mike. I know you want to turn it to
Clemson. I'm just asking.
Well, why don't you talk about what your players
what
did?
What would you rather have
to
do? Grab your hedges.
I'm not engaging
you,
in your spinning. This is about South Carolina. This is not
right
about
now.
Clemson. This is not about Clemson. Stop spinning.
If I say
not about Clemson,
grab your bushes and pull out a few limbs, or grab you in the private area, which what would you prefer?
This is not about Clemson.
Okay, I'm just asking the question. You seem really upset about the hedges.
I'm not upset about it. Mike, I'm used
to
it.
To the Callaway's live show.
Here, don't touch me.
I'm gonna bring you a bush.
No, you're not touching me.
To make you feel better.
No, you're not touching me.
Well, we're throwing water balls at players. Yes, Austin, you're Clemson fans as well. Now, Clemson fans
that's
don't realize
that. That's not the point. That's not the point. And what you're seen to be missing here is the fact that South Carolina players and their head coach pissed on a tradition of a storied football program.
They grab the hedges. You guys grab people's junk.
That's not.
They get funny
not,
and joke about it.
That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
I know you're right. That's the same thing. One's
it's
kind of assault.
It's not the same thing.
Okay. One's just pruning some bushes.
Okay. Whatever. If that's how you want to feel about it, but if you want to piss on other traditions,
I'm just saying.
And I understand, and I completely understand. But I know why.
What would you rather me do? Come grab your bushes or grab
don't
your
acknowledge him. This is him being dumb again.
Which
he's spinning.
Better?
You're spinning,
Mike.
Hear
the answers for.
Can you be honest for once in the podcast and show that it's
honest.
Not a good look?
I said at the time.
Right, so
I didn't think it was a good look.
Okay.
Then I went to
it's not
media.
A good look. But the
okay,
reality
but
is that
I saw how.
Well, let me.
All right.
So it shows how you are though, because it was such a shitty move that your athletic director that won you two national titles in the sport of baseball went and apologized to the athletics
that's
director of Georgia.
That's what Ray
because
Tanner
he
does.
Know
it's
well that
AD's
that's because
that's
Ray
fine.
Tanner is classy and the
Georgia.
Gamecock fans that think that it's good don't. This is why
maybe
I hope you lose every fucking football game you play. That's why I hope
Ray
you lose
Tanner
every fucking football game you play.
If I'm
For
Ray
what?
Tanner, I'm gonna email Ray tomorrow and say, Ray, Mr. Tanner, Coach Tanner, you know, Clemson fans are really upset over the fact that we took Georgia's hedges. I don't know why.
It's not
they're
about
really upset.
Everything with you
them?
Centers
That'd
on Clemson.
That'd be hilarious. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Everything said, with you.
I also want to apologize to Clemson fans for taking the hedges of Georgia. They seem to really be upset about it. Really upset
That's
about
not,
it.
It's
know,
the average person, Mike. It's the average person, but you can't deal with it.
I can show you screenshots. Of is that in your
and I can
Facebook
I can show
list?
You I can show you screenshots
Clemson
of Georgia fans that
are
upset.
They are livid. They are
right.
livid.
Right.
They
That's
are
fine.
Livid. They
but that has
like before.
That has nothing to do with it.
Okay,
you're missing the
saying,
entire point.
Do you need to get an apology?
You
from Ray
are.
Tanner?
I don't need an apology from
do you
anybody
an apology
because
from Ray Tanner?
Look,
I can tweet him
we,
tonight.
Look,
I can
we,
tweet
we don't
him
have
and say, listen, Rob needs
you should
Rob is upset. I can show him a clip of you swearing on the podcast, how upset you
I
were.
I swear on the podcast
say,
all the time.
And I say, Rob needs an apology, Mr. Tanner. He is really
just,
upset over this.
Maybe I just expected better of the program. I don't know. But
he
I know
really
I
upset.
Know I know not to expect better from the program. I know that
if
now.
Georgia
because
does not want it to happen
pissing
Georgia,
on
I,
pissing
I
on other tradition is great.
Upset. I have seen a handful of Georgia
I've got,
fans say,
Mike,
you know,
I've got people
next
it's,
time we should it, beat them if we don't want our hedges taken.
If up. It wasn't that big of a deal, then why did Ray Tanner apologize?
Because Ray Tanner is a classy guy. That's what he does.
Oh, okay, well, okay, so Ray Tanner's classy, but the rest of the Gamecocks
That's what
aren't.
He does.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know. Did your
right,
AD
so,
apologize
so you're
to
not,
some players
so
grab people's junk?
You're not. You're not standing toe to toe. You're not standing shoulder to shoulder with Ray Tanner, and I'm trying to be classy.
I said
you're okay
once
with
again,
being shitty.
I said once again. Let me repeat. When it happened, I said it's not a good look. So I'm all for Ray apologizing to Georgia fans. But it looks like he needs to apologize to Clemson fans. You guys are really
He doesn't need
upset.
To apologize.
This is a tough weekend for you guys.
It's
is this
not
like
a tough
of,
weekend.
Like how
We won weekend. By 31 points, Mike.
But
how was it a tough
so
weekend?
Upset. How can you win and be this upset? You guys are really upset. Is it because
–
I've also noticed this too. I want to address this. You guys seem really kind of like denial mode. Like, we're not worried about November. We're not worried about it. And like really like over the top talking about you're not worried. Like,
but
and
tell,
like,
tell
it's,
me,
it's like really
hold on,
like defensive.
Hold on.
Like it's really
tell
hour.
Me, tell me why we should be remember. We should be worried about November.
People have me like I'm in the room. There's no one even brings up November. But Clemson fans are like, you think we're worried about November? You
actually,
like,
hold on,
like
hold on, hold up. Now you're telling lies in our Facebook group. There are several that says wait until November, including Jimbo, who's in our contest, who's bet me a shot and a beer the Gamecocks win in November.
I'm just saying,
so don't come with that lies because that's lies.
It's like you're
absolute lies.
You guys seem a little bit nervous. I'm just gonna say.
It's, look, I've said the same thing. I've said the same thing about that game since the beginning of the season. And it's the warm up. It's like the JV game before the ACC
seem
championship game.
You're a little bit on edge right now. You really seem angry. You guys won by how many points? You won by this week?
31.
31 points. But you guys, I've never seen you guys this angry.
I'm not angry about
you
South
guys,
Carolina.
I mean, as a fan base, you guys seem really upset.
Are you talking about the Clemson fan base or me?
Our wins got nothing to do with you. But you guys act like we beat you. I mean, we may do it in November, then get upset.
You're not beating us in November.
Listen,
you're not beating us in November.
How about this? If we beat you in November, we'll go ahead and pick up our own hedges just to make it even. Will that make you feel better? We'll pick up our own hedges and, like, carry them around?
Well, if you were truly hospitable, you would adopt some of the crackheads that are outside your stadium and give them a nice post-Thanksgiving dinner.
I've never seen – this game had nothing to do with you guys, and you guys are so upset.
I'm not upset about the game.
I don't know. Is this
Look, I Georgia fans are fucking assholes, but –
it's almost like you guys see – like, you guys can see – like the times are changing right now. You're starting to see it a little bit. You're getting a little worried.
You're 3-3 and you lost to North Carolina and Missouri.
You guys are the greatest team in the world. I'm sure we have no chance of beating you. I'm sure
you don't have a chance.
There is no way.
No chance. There's no chance.
You guys seem awfully on edge lately. Just really kind of.
Well, I don't know. I don't know which Clemson fans you're talking to, but I am not on edge about that game.
You seem like you're.
I'm more okay. I'm more as far as games on the schedule. I'm more worried about Wake Forest, Louisville, Boston College. You guys are fourth.
You
of our games
upset.
That are left, you're fourth. I'm not upset.
I don't know.
Mike, look, let's be honest. You don't have a good football team.
If Louisville took out Georgia's Hedges tomorrow, you wouldn't say a word, I don't think.
I don't think it's classy for anybody to do that.
I don't know.
I don't think it's classy for anybody to do that.
Well, maybe Georgia will lose again at home this year and someone will take their Hedges out. You won't say a word about it.
I will. Anytime I see some disrespectful stuff, that's what I call.
Before I go to bed, I'm going to go to bed here soon because I don't feel well. I'm going to tweet Ray Tanner tonight and say, Mr. Tanner, please, Rob and the Clemson fan base are really upset. You apologize to Georgia, but you didn't apologize to the fan base who's really upset about it, and that's the Clemson fan base. They are upset
about
that.
Some notes from the room here. Charlie says, at the end of the day, who cares what Clemson thinks about it? That's a fair statement as well, but it's not about what the Clemson fans think about it. It's about the tradition that the Gamecocks pissed on. It's about that. So Charlie gets it. Thank you, Charlie. Red says, because the UGA AD is a bitch. That's very valid, too. Times are changing. Laugh my ass off from
I'm going to play a little Bob Dylan right here.
From Thomas Powell.
They are changing.
Christian says, I think you're convincing yourself that Clemson fans are upset. Charlie says, I doubt you can tell
Christian,
the shrubs were touched.
Did you hear Rob?
They
did
didn't stop
Rob
them down.
Up with the hedges? He's throwing the F word out every three words. I mean, I'm not making
Mike.
Rob is livid about the hedges.
Mike, I curse all the time during the podcast.
You are
man.
Livid. Like, you
no,
have not,
not
been
livid.
This mad in a long time.
I need
time.
Some more Snapple, though.
When's the last time you've been this mad? Seriously,
mad,
when's the
Mike.
Last time you've been this mad in the podcast?
I don't get mad in the podcast, Mike.
You are livid.
No, nope, I don't get mad
time?
In the podcast.
Like, this has been a while because Clemson's won every game.
My God, I think you, dude, you need to go to the ear, nose, and throat specialist and get your hearing checked.
You are
I
upset.
Don't get upset. No, I just expected
I'm going to have Ray Tanner apologize to you.
I don't need Ray Tanner to apologize to me. What Ray Tanner can do is Ray Tanner can. If Ray wants to apologize, Ray can apologize to the city of Columbia for making us build a baseball stadium when we could have used the same one. And for killing the Columbia Inferno hockey team, which is stuff that's done in the... But it doesn't matter. He's the head of the athletics department. And if he's going to apologize, if he's going to apologize for the athletic department, do that. And, oh, by the way, maybe we can use Williams-Brice Stadium to have the Rolling Stones come.
Kyle Spivey's upset, too.
Well, no. Slow down. Kyle Spivey is really upset. You make goof of me and think I'm upset? That motherfucker needs some Valium. He is really mad.
He posted today, I posted what I said in here. I said, listen, at the first, I wasn't real fond of it. I go, but the fact that Clemson fans are so upset makes me laugh. He goes, which Clemson fans are upset? I go, well, one, you. I mean, you. That's one. But I saw someone screenshot the Clemson room. And so you guys are all talking about it. It's funny.
You want to know what's funny? Is like, I don't think I'm in any. I think I'm in Clemson groups, but I don't go into them. Kind of weird. I post some of my stuff on in the Clemson groups to that I think that Clemson fans will like, but I don't go in there and comment. On Facebook groups, I think I comment in maybe three different groups. I think I comment in the Saturdays group. And I think I comment in the Rivalry Hub group and the college, whatever, one of these other college groups. But I don't really comment in the Clemson groups.
I only go to the Gamecock groups.
I just don't think this was a good look, Mike. And I don't think that it was right. But that's just me. I just don't think it was a good look.
I wasn't a big fan of it, but then just the fact
that if you're liking it because of the pettiness about it, then I mean,
if your fan base can get upset, I wish we did it more. I wish we'd go back tomorrow and do it again.
You're so stupid.
I want Will Muschamp to go back to Athens tomorrow and take up the whole row of them and put it in the back of the Gamecock boom bus. And film it and put it on your Twitter
Jesus
feed.
Jesus Christ!
At this point,
I don't think that's the way to go. But that's just me. By the way, let's go ahead and we'll pick our games for next week so we can get out of here because you and I aren't going to agree on this at all. Clemson and Louisville will be one of the games. Clemson is a 22-point favorite. That's the opening line, so that will be one, right, Mike?
Of course, unfortunately.
I know you don't like having to deal with one of the best teams in the country. That's on you. And you know that that's going to be another loss on the schedule.
I lost them. I think it's the first time I've lost a Clemson game this year. I'll have to go back and check.
Florida and South Carolina, the line's at 6.5, but it's already jumped to 7 because people know the Gamecocks are a fraud. So that game is at 6.5. That's what we'll go with because that's what it opened up at. What are the other games you like, Mike? You want to do Tennessee and Alabama?
Oh God, no.
No? How about Auburn and Arkansas?
I'm sick of doing huge-ass spread games. Let me see here. I didn't have to look at games because I was puking in the toilet.
That's
about
great.
An hour ago. So I didn't get a chance to look at games.
How about a Big Ten game? Michigan and Penn State. 8-point line. Penn State is an 8-point favorite.
Let's do that for sure.
That's not a bad game, right?
Yeah, I guess do that. That's good. Good Lord, can Georgia favor 27? I guess that makes sense.
They've already dropped it to 25, but if you don't want to do a huge line, I don't really like that line anyway.
No.
Let's see here.
Oklahoma, West Virginia is 33.5 point spread. Good Lord.
They're a shit show.
I know that. I mean, they got really bad, but that's just weird to look at and see. A&M, Ole Miss.
Do you see any other games? I don't really. Anybody see any other games they like? If you're in the Facebook group,
What did Brandon post? Brandon posted.
I don't pay attention to Brandon's post.
Michigan Penn State for sure. Don't get mad at Brandon Coon. That's my long lost son.
Well, he was calling Ben Simmons his dad last night, so apparently the milkman was out and about.
So we've got to do an ACC game, right?
Well, if we're gonna do an ACC game, then I we could go with. Oh God, I'm not doing Georgia Tech and Miami.
North Carolina, Virginia Tech? No.
Duke and Virginia. That's a 5-point spread. That's going to be a big matchup in the Coastal.
Let's do Duke, Virginia, Michigan, Penn State.
Now, that's an interesting game because Virginia's quarterback, I think, is done. Bryce Perkins, I think he's done.
The last I heard he was.
Yeah, so we got Duke and Virginia, Michigan, Penn State, and then we got this is the last one.
No.
Let's kill the Duke Virginia and go NC State and Boston College. That's an Atlantic matchup, and it's 1-point spread.
Okay, let's do that.
That's basically a pick 'em. So let's go with that one.
And how about we do Baylor Oklahoma State? It's a 2.5-point spread. Want to do a little Big 12 football? Mike Gundy, I'm 40. I'm a man.
You're a man. You're 40. I don't really care about that game. But hold on. Let's see if there's anything else I like. Oregon and Washington? Nah, I don't really care. We're not going to do Kentucky and Georgia, and we're not going to do LSU and Mississippi State. We're not going to Auburn and Arkansas. We could do Texas A&M and Ole Miss. That's an SEC matchup. That way we have two SEC matchups, two ACC matchups, and a Big 12 matchup. No, you're not feeling that? How about Missouri and Vanderbilt? Two shit show teams there.
It's a crappy-ass week.
It is a crappy-ass week. Air Force in Hawaii? Oh, no. No, I don't see any game. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to go with – which one were you talking about?
Oklahoma State Baylor.
God, I hate the Big 12. But, okay, we'll go Oklahoma State Baylor.
Michigan State, Boston College, Oklahoma State Baylor.
Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, the Clemson. Yeah, that's a given. So the three we're picking. Does that sound good?
That sounds fine to me. I don't think
we might
any,
change. I think if we forgot a game, because this happens sometimes too. Like, oh my God, how can we even pick that game? But as of right now, we'll do that. If we
Charlie says Minnesota, let's see what that game looks like. Hold on, Charlie. I think Minnesota's matchup might be interesting. Hold on. Let's see what Charlie says. I'm looking on the lines here, Charlie. Let me see what we got. Minnesota. As we figure this out, as we roll live here on the Rob and Comrade Show, thank you guys for checking us out. Minnesota. Who are they playing, Charlie? Charlie's online. He throws out Minnesota.
Is that a Friday game or something like that? It might be a...
Minnesota and Rutgers. Stop it, Charlie. 29.5 points. Charlie's goofball. Iowa State, Texas Tech. That might be a decent game. Why not? Let me ask you something, real talk. You guys have to play Appalachian State this year. Does that game intimidate you at all? Because they are undefeated. They look pretty good.
Listen, we can definitely lose to them, but I want them ranked because that will help the whole boom thing about he can't beat ranked teams. He can beat them. At least two ranked teams he beats this year.
Shut up.
Right? If he beats Florida so three, all of a sudden now he goes from, oh, you're number one. That'd be shut some people up.
Early preview for
Here's the thing. The good thing with the Appalachian State game is that we won't overlook them. You know, normally you overlook teams like that, but the fact they come undefeated and they're ranked, and that'll be a pretty big game because just for them, and you know, they'll get a little national spotlight just for people who are looking to see can they beat UNC already.
Right.
So we'll be ready. I think we'll play well in that game, which is a good thing because I think
we'll see.
If maybe had two losses or so and we're under the radar, I could see that us sleepwalking and them beating us. But at least I think we'll go out there ready to play.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. Big preview for coming up for the games on Wednesday. My early prediction, I'm taking Florida. I think they're going to win by a lot. So I think the Gamecocks left their nut in Georgia.
I think it depends on Helinski. If Helinski can play, I think we win.
I think they left their nuts in Georgia, and I think that Florida's blitzing defense will be too much regardless. So there you go with that. Anyway.
I may go ahead and just pick the culture. Which got better culture? That's us.
Hold on. They have Tim Tebow as part of their culture. One of the most humanitarian motherfuckers ever lived.
Has nothing to do with Florida right now. He's long gone.
But he's part of the culture, you idiot.
No, he's not.
His quotes are on the side of the stadium.
He's still Urban Meyer. And so,
but they don't have his quotes on the side of the stadium, you jerk.
What the hell is that quote? So is Ron Zook.
Hold on. This is what we've learned from the comrade tonight. Tim Tebow is not part of the Florida history.
He's not.
Are you really that fucking stupid?
Ron Zook is too. Then Ron Zook's part of their culture.
Holy shit,
Mike. Here's the thing, though. I will bring up this, though. Okay, Florida.
I'm not going to beat you up because you're sick.
Florida has had to play two big time games back to back. Auburn, LSU, they're beating up, coming into Columbia on the road for a noon game, okay? Right, the State Fair is going on. The State Fair, I think that's, I went there today. I think that's why I got sick. All right, so I'll tell you right now, I think it's a perfect setup for the Gamecocks. Now, if Helsinki doesn't play, then I'm not sure, but it's a perfect setup for the Gamecocks. It's a perfect...
All right, well, go back to what you said.
Sometimes it's not about who you play, it's when you play them.
Go back to what you said at the beginning of the podcast where you said you don't think Helsinki's going to play, but take those two and put it together.
I didn't say that. I said that I would not... I would
you
not
said you
say,
would not be surprised if he didn't
no,
play.
No, I will not be surprised, no.
There but you go. So take those two things and put them together.
My point is the Gamecock fans who think what Muschamp said today means he's definitely playing. That doesn't mean that. I think Muschamp says that. Now, Muschamp may say it. He may say it and say, oh, that's really the truth. That's what's going to happen. Or maybe he's saying it knowing he's not going to play and give him Florida extra. We don't know for sure until Saturday morning. So we'll see.
Okay, then. All right. Well, comrade, do you have anything else to add for the show this week? Charlie with
That's
a good
it.
Point. That would be two top 10 wins. Look, I want to make sure people understand, too. I'm happy for the Gamecocks, man. They played their ass off. Yes, I am. Don't listen to this fucking idiot.
No one believes that.
I don't really care.
You are not happy for the Gamecocks. You are
I'm happy.
Pissed.
No, no,
you
no.
You are mad.
I am happy for the Gamecocks.
Here's the thing, though. During the game, and I looked down at my face. I wasn't, I looked on my Facebook feed. And during the game, when it looked like the Gamecocks were going to lose because when we missed a kick, and it's pretty clear we're going to lose the game, Rob started spouting off, oh, but they'll celebrate moral victories. They'll
That's what you would have done. That's what you would have done.
And then we won the game.
Clock strikes 12.
And you've been mad ever since.
I have not been mad. I am happy.
You were dying for the moral victory.
I am happy that the Gamecocks won. Because
Parker missed that kick, you go. I cannot wait to make fun of the comrade.
Oh, I would have made. I would have made fun. I would have made fun of you regardless.
I know. You were.
I make fun of you and you won, Mike. I make fun of you and you won. So don't even start with me. Charlie Rabin has a good point here. Would they be ranked with a 4-3 record? You know, I don't know. I think it depends on who loses. That's a valid question. I think they'll be ranked higher.
Yeah, we're the best.
I think they'll be ranked higher in the coaches poll than in the AP poll because the AP poll has a bunch of Big Ten writers who will put a bunch of Big Ten teams over
them. I'm curious where we are in the Sagarin ratings right now.
I don't know where you are in the Sagarin ratings.
I love looking at the computer numbers, not just like what the people think, because that kind of tells you a little bit more too. But let me see where we are here. Da, 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 da. 28. The Gamecocks are 28 right now in the Sagarin ratings. We were 35 last week. We have the second toughest schedule in the land right now, according to Sagarin. We are between Cincinnati and Arizona State. That's what we're between right now. So right now, if Jeff Sagarin was doing the point spread for the Gamecocks, we're at 80. Clemson is at 96. At 16 points, you put about 3 points on for home field. If the Gamecock-Clemson game was being played this weekend, it opened at about 13. Assuming Helsinki's healthy. So that kind of shows you where it is. Clemson's 5 right now in the Sagarin ratings, by the way. Hate to break this news to you. They're 5. Ohio State's 1, Bama's 2, Wisconsin 3, Oklahoma 4, Clemson 5, LSU 6.
Right. Well, none of that matters because the only thing that matters is the poll at the end.
I'm just saying. First of all, I will make a point, though. You said none of it matters. And you are right. None of it matters. But once again, you know what matters, though? It matters when Clemson fans get upset. And these polls make Clemson fans upset.
So it did make them upset. That's why I had the public service announcement of these polls don't matter. So calm the fuck down. They don't matter.
When I saw you guys dropped a three, I just out loud laughed and said, I guarantee you there are people who are angry. And I went on Twitter and all my, I typed in Clemson polls on Twitter, hashtagged it, and you see all these Clemson fans. I don't understand what we gotta do. And it's just the tears. And it doesn't matter, but they're so upset.
They're so upset.
You're very sensitive fan base.
Charlie says that I think he's talking about the Gamecocks, are like 24th in the power index. Ray Griffin says they're the best three-loss team ever. Holy shit, Ray.
We are the best 3-3 team.
Get fuck out of here.
Let me show you something real quick. Actually, that's not true. Texas A&M is 3-3, and they're 21 in the Sagarin ratings. Southern California, the fake USC, is 26. They're 3-3. So we're the third best 3-3 team in the country. Number three. We're both number three.
Clemson wins out, they're going to the playoff. I do agree with Charlie's comment on the Facebook Live group. If Clemson loses a game, they could be in danger. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if Clemson loses a game, they could be in danger. I do agree with that. But I don't think Clemson's going to drop a game. I really don't. Clemson hasn't played their best football yet.
1 versus top 10 teams and 1-2 versus top 30 teams.
There you go. All right, comrade. Can we end the show now? I want to go to bed. Yep. Not with you. Fuck that. With that, the show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at RobSoundsGood and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.